Hey, this is Jonathan with Limitless Mindset, and this is Q&A podcast number 27. And you may be listening to this podcast on iTunes. If you are, I would really love it if you would give the podcast a 5-star review. If you take just a moment to navigate over in iTunes and hit those little 5 stars there, because that'll just give this MP3 RSS stream a little bit more of the audience that I think it deserves. So we've got 3 good questions today. And before I dive into them, I want to just mention that what you're hearing here and what you find on my website, limitless.com, is not medical advice. I'm not a doctor. I'm just an experienced, unlicensed self-experimenter practicing free speech in talking about my own extensive experiences and my interpretations of public science. And I will refer you to my guide on how to biohack smart and safe. That's kind of like a risk management manifesto when it comes to your biohacking. And if you're new to it, if you're intermediate, even if you have a pretty good idea of what you're doing with all these crazy supplements and technologies and options that are available to you to do what you want with your body outside of the supervision of a physician, I'd urge you to check out that guide, as it is helpful. And I will also suggest, if you're a person that's dropping a not insignificant amount of change, if you are spending some moolah, if you are making it rain with your online shopping for supplements, if you're one of those people that's investing in trying to improve your health, I would urge you to check out the Limitless Mindset Secret Society, which I do have linked below wherever you're going to be listening to this podcast. And this is not going to cost you anything extra. This is a page on my website where I link to the 15 or so recommended vendors. And these are vendors of biohacking supplements and technologies and products, things I've tried that are credible, that really work, that are often supplements which are COA verified for purity, for lack of toxicity. This is the good stuff. And if you spend at least $100 with these vendors, it kind of depends upon which vendor you spend money with. You'll have to go to the page and check this out, which again, it's linked below. But if you spend at least $100, which hey, if you're serious about your health, you're probably spending $100 on it, not infrequently. And this will give you access to a online community that we've got, a cool biohacker community, which is hosted on minds.com, which is, as far as I can tell, the only social network on the internet that actually protects your privacy. And since we've got kind of like $100 barrier to entry to this particular group, I think that it is going to have a higher quality of conversation in it. So if you're kind of sick of these forums and places around the internet where people are talking about health stuff and you can get some questions answered sometimes, but there's also kind of just a lot of rudeness. There's a bunch of people who you don't really know if they actually have any idea of what they're talking about, who are erupting with opinions. If you want to go to a place that's a little bit more exclusive, a little bit more elite, do check out the Limitless Mindset Secret Society. And that also includes a 25-minute call with me. So if you've ever thought that it might be useful just to get on a one-on-one phone call with somebody who's got some experience in the whole domain of life hacking and biohacking, I would love to talk to you. This is how I've made some friends around the world that are into some very cool stuff. Okay, and I am lucky today to be joined by my co-host, Girana.
Hey, everyone. Okay, so the first question comes from Rickson via Instagram. I'm considering moving somewhere in Europe with low cost of living and with good stuff when it comes to the biohacking and nootropics world. But I wonder how of a good place would Bulgaria be when it comes to access to biohacking stuff. Supplements, job. I'm a biohacker and I like to go to saunas, have red light therapy, and such things.
Well, I thought you would be the perfect person to answer this question with, because you are a Bulgarian. And that's where we live here together. We are debatably the most famous biohackers in Bulgaria.
So, first of all, I think that he sounds like an American, so I think that he won't have any problem with getting a job here, a very highly paid job.
Mm-hmm. He said he was actually, I think, he had European citizenship. So maybe he's a European guy who's also an American citizen. I'm actually not sure.
Well, maybe. Well, if he speaks more than one language, he can get a really well-paid job at a call center here.
Mm-hmm. Although, what's the salaries here are not very good. If he's coming from America or if he's coming from some other Western European country, he's going to be pretty disappointed in the salaries here. So I've had a lot of people ask me about Bulgaria because it's been my home for over 2 years now. And I always tell people, don't come to Bulgaria for a job, bring a job to Bulgaria. Because the economy here, it's not awful. It's not like some places like Kiev, where I've spent time. But the economy is not roaring. It is not a bull market here. So I suggest, however, the cost of living is very low here. The cost of living is a great value here. So I urge people that if they do come here, find some work, some freelance work that they can do, and then make currency, make dollars, make euros, make bitcoins, and then spend the Bulgarian leva so that you can do a little bit of geo-arbitraging of your income.
Yeah, that's good advice.
So I think it's a good option for digital nomads, especially if you already have a European Schengen Zone country citizenship. It should be pretty easy to move here. As a country for biohackers, I think it's pretty good, actually. I left the United States kind of as a refugee from the toxicity of modernity. There in the United States, there in some other Western, quote-unquote, developed countries, they have glyphosate-ridden, Monsanto-sponsored products that you can find on every single shelf in every single grocery store in your country. And you really have a tough time getting organic food, getting clean food, getting food that doesn't have a bunch of crazy chemicals in it. That's part of the reason why I left the United States. And Bulgaria is one of the better countries for that. Here in Bulgaria, they banned Monsanto. I think they have done some banning of GMOs. I don't think it's a complete banning of GMOs, but the food that you would just buy from like a farmer's market here is, I think, better than what you find in a lot of places around the world.
Yeah, we have farmer's markets here. And personally, me and Jonathan, we only buy our food from a farmer's market.
Yeah, we don't go to, well, admittedly, we do go to the grocery store from time to time.
Yes, but only for food that we can't find on the farmer's market.
Yeah, and we're mostly buying, what do we get from the grocery store? Like beer? I get beer from the grocery store.
Yeah, beer. Also some vegetables.
But we're not getting like cereal.
No.
Or ice cream.
No. It's really good to get like meat and dairy from the farmer's market. It's also good to get organic honey. It's good to get bread. Good bread from a farmer's market, you know, like homemade.
You can judge the quality and the toxicity of a country's food by kind of just looking at how overweight people are there. More specifically, like younger people and middle-aged people. Naturally, you kind of expect for people to get a little bit obese as they get older. That's kind of the trend, right? But if you go to a country and you see a lot of young people, like people in their 20s, people in their 30s who are obese, in my mind, that's a pretty good sign that that place has awful quality of food. And I haven't done a, you know, a spectroscopy analysis of the food here in Bulgaria, but that's the opposite of what we observe. You know, here you generally see young people and even middle-aged people, and there's not a huge obesity epidemic in the country. So as a biohacker, you are always, you know, wanting to order a lot of cool supplements. You know, that's one of the cornerstones of a biohacker's existence is your daily ritual of taking your supplements and ordering, finding out a new supplement that you want to try and then ordering it and then it arriving at your doorstep. And every month or every couple of weeks or every couple of days, however often you can afford to try new things, having that kid on Christmas morning feeling of opening up yet another supplement. It's pretty exciting. And here in Bulgaria, well, this can be a little bit tough. We've had mixed experiences with the accessibility of supplements, wouldn't you say?
Yes. When we talk about customs, it's not a piece of cake, usually. You have to have a lot of patience, you know?
Yeah, so here in Europe, they have the EU, and then each country has its own layer of bureaucracy in charge of importing things. And if you're importing something from the United States, which, by the way, this is something you don't learn until you leave the United States if you're an American. In the United States, you are fortunate to be able to get the very best health supplements at the very best quality at the very best price, with boundless selection, with boundless opportunities. It's really pretty extraordinary just all the different types of molecules that you can order in America from the convenience of your living room on your laptop and then have it show up at your doorstep about a week later. And in Europe, it's trickier than that. So within the EU, within the Schengen zone, if you order from a company that is in the EU, then it's easier to get things. Then you're looking at typically, like I ordered some adaptogenic herbs. I ordered the ingredients to my favorite adaptogenic herb stack, which is Schisandra, Rhodiola, and Eleuthero. And those took about 2 weeks to get here. And they were coming from an English company. I identified the best source of those sorts of herbs here in Europe. And it was this company, Indigo Herbs, that I did a video review of that you can find on my website if you're interested. And we've ordered a couple other we've gotten actual nootropics, like more classic nootropics, from Focus Supplements a number of times now. And that typically takes about 2 weeks. I have gotten a number of shipments from Rue Pharma, and there's Rue Pharma and Moss Pharma. They are the same company, but they are different websites. One is a warehouse based in Moscow, and one is a warehouse based in, I think, Lithuania, actually. And these guys are quite good at getting things to me. They'll ship me something out, and I will typically get it in about a week. And I usually won't have much trouble with these packages that are coming from other EU countries. So you'll have to spend a bit more here in Europe to get supplements. You won't be able to get the same quality of supplements for the real low prices that you can get them, for the relatively low prices that you can get them there in the United States. Like in the United States, you can order something like 500 grams of pharmaceutical grade paracetam that's powdered, and I think it is $39. And that is a lot of paracetam. That amount of paracetam will last you a long time. It's excellent paracetam, one of the best smart drugs, and it's only $39. That may last you in between, I'm going to say in between 2 to 6 months, depending upon your intake. And here in Europe, that sort of value is just not really available. You'd be paying quite a bit more. So you kind of have to plan on spending more money ordering from the European vendors. Because if you're ordering from US companies, your costs and the inconvenience just get tremendously egregious. They are going to fine you a VAT tax. It's going to be something like 25, 27%, 30% of the value of whatever the product is. And that's not such a big problem for me. But what really is offensive is just how hard it is to get the people in the imports offices to actually do their jobs and process the paperwork that they demand.
Answer the phone.
Yes.
It's really hard to get them to answer the phone in the first place, and they only seem to work on Mondays.
Yeah, every other day of the week that we call, they just refuse to talk to us.
Yes, nobody answers the phone.
So yeah, that's the deal. There is, here in Bulgaria, there's a company called Zoya.bg, which sells pretty good organic stuff at actually pretty reasonable prices. But they don't, you have to either, this is the thing, being a biohacker here in Bulgaria, you would either have to make a trade-off with not taking quite so many supplements. Or you'll just have to be able to spend a lot more money. If you're a person who has like $5,000 a year to spend on your supplements, then you probably won't have that big of a problem here because you could just pay more from the European vendors. But if you got a whole lot less money to spend on your supplements, you're going to have to make some sacrifices, which I guess is okay, because you think about the quality of food is higher here. So it's kind of like the big question, what is it that really affects your health or brings you towards your biohacking goals more? Is it the food you're eating, or is it the supplements you're taking? It's kind of hard to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So he mentions saunas, red light therapy, and such things. I don't think we have a sauna here in... Oh, no. Let me think about this. Okay, actually, we do have a few saunas here in Sofia, but they're not as common, and
they're at the hotels.
Yeah, they tend to be attached to ritzy hotels. So you'd have to, it's not quite like a place like Finland where they just have saunas everywhere. So you'd have to spend a little bit more for the saunas. I do know that they have a cryotherapy place here, and I have not tried that yet. I'd love to try that. So we do have some cool things here in Sofia. As far as red light therapy, you'd probably have to order that yourself or bring that yourself. I've not seen a lot of places offering that. So it's, again, if what you're looking for is a place that's inexpensive, but that has a higher quality of living, I think that it's not that bad, but it's not exactly a biohacker's utopia. He should check out my articles, which are going to be linked below this podcast, which are Seducing Sophia. That was an article that I wrote here when I was a single guy, and I successfully seduced Sophia to the extent that I am no longer single.
And Sophia seduced you.
That's right. That's right. Maybe I could do another article. Sophia seduced me.
Mm-hmm.
I did another art. I've done two articles on Bulgaria, and the second one is called Bulgaria is a Red-Pilled Bastion of Western Civilization. And so that was a bit more about the culture. And so you'll want to check out both of those articles if you're interested in the country. Okay.
And I don't think that you would remain disappointed in the Bulgarian women.
I agree.
I don't think so. We know other American guys who come here for the girls and they're really, really happy with our choice. And they think that we are beskrajna krasota, which means infinite beauty.
Infinite beauty.
Mm-hmm. But I think you should just come over and check out for yourself.
So do let us know.
Mm-hmm.
The next question came from Scott via email. This is kind of a quirky guy. He said, I write to you today about something in the industry that seems strange to me, and I hope you, pardon me, I'm burping here, folks, a bit. I was having some of that Pau Darko tea, because all of these podcasts I've been listening to tell me about how great Pau Darko tea is for your mitochondria and your sirtuins and everything else, but it has that nasty consistency to it. It's just not that pleasant of a tea to drink. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with it. I think I might, you know what I might do with it? I might do the thing with the Pau Darko tea where I put the tea in the Voss in the glass bottle and then I leave it overnight so that the Pau Darko tea permeates the water overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll put it in the tea egg so that it filters out, and then I'll leave it in the refrigerator so it gets cold, and then I'll drink it in the morning, and I'll pull out the tea egg. So that way I don't have those little bits of Pau Darko fiber sticking in my throat while I'm trying to do a podcast. I think that might be the best way to do the Pau Darko. Okay,
Sorry,
Scott. Let us get back to your question here. He said, something seems strange to me, and I hope you have some insight, and if so, maybe foundation for new content you could use online. In my opinion, it is very possible that sarcosine is the one nootropic that could most hinder the sale of harmful, expensive psych drugs like lithium, SSRIs, etc. The potential is there, and I think the pharma industry knows it, but do not think the supplement industry is aware of it. Maybe because when used alone, there is not much benefit. The pharma industry tried to mimic the benefits of sarcosine with bitopyrene, but failed. As they prepared this drug to come out in 2017, sarcosine became scarce, and it still is scarce. What a coincidence. Who was known for sarcosine sales? Powder City. Where are they now? Yeah, I know. Where is the safe place to buy sarcosine now? Maybe only Nootropics Depot, but they limit to one bottle. Does bigger sales frighten Nootropics Depot? Think not. Must be a supply issue. So, do I think that sarcosine became scarce because a group wants to harm others? No, but maybe someone may want to be scarce to gain leverage, increase competitive edge, even if it harms others. Maybe I am nuts. Maybe. But sarcosine is such a simple compound. Why else would it be scarce? Conspiracy? Not sure, but I find this strange. Do you have any opinion or insight on this? So, this guy is pointing to this nootropic that I didn't have much experience with or acquaintance with up until now. It's called sarcosine. I do link to it in the article for this. And sarcosine, I was a little bit surprised to see it does have 18 human clinical trials. And that's a decent amount of clinical research to have been done on a supplement. Most of the clinical research was in the domain of treating schizophrenia. Apparently, it's pretty helpful for schizophrenics. Perusing the studies on it, I didn't see a whole lot of studies that would lead me to believe that it would be like a classic nootropic that would help with cognition or help with motivation or memory. So I would suggest to Scott, if you think it's great stuff, why don't you put together an article about it, synopsizing the research, and then send that to me. And if it's a good article, then I can publish it on my website and maybe we can get the word out on it a bit more. The funny thing here is that this guy is imagining a conspiracy surrounding sarcosine by Big Pharma. And I would say that's probably not the case. Typically, and conspiracy is a subject that's always fascinated me. Typically, when there's a conspiracy, what you'll see is some industry sponsorship of negative propaganda. You'll see some studies that are being done that are saying that it's a bad drug, that are saying bad things about it. And then if you go and check the funding on those studies, you'll see that Big Pharma the competition has funded those studies. That's kind of like the classical case of conspiracy that occurs in the pharmacological, you know, area of commerce. I didn't see that with sarcosine. I just saw all of the PubMed studies on it being pretty optimistic about it, actually. For example, if you want to see an example of this, go and look at Kratom on PubMed, and you'll see a bunch of studies saying bad things about Kratom. And Kratom is far from blameless. Kratom is pretty problematic, actually. But I think that there's probably a concerted effort amongst pharmaceutical companies, amongst the mainstream media, to do some demonization of Kratom because they don't want, you know, people to be dealing with their PTSD or dealing with their pain with a low-risk herb that can be farmed very cheaply there in Asia and then shipped over, and people can easily get it. You know, they want people on the more serious, hardcore, more expensive drugs, of course. And so I don't see that in the case of sarcosine. And if there was a conspiracy, if you want to see another example of conspiracy, go and look up the mainstream media coverage of things like vaccines. And you'll see that the talking heads on television just always say the exact same thing. They say, vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines are safe and effective. Safe and effective. Do you believe us yet? We'll say, safe and effective. One more time. We'll keep saying, safe and effective, until you believe us. But if you go and look up the ingredients of those vaccines, you'll see that they have mercury in them and aluminum in them, like very dangerous things. So, typically when there's a pharma conspiracy going on, and there have been plenty of pharma conspiracies that have been very destructive to the health of probably the entire human race. But there's always some mainstream media working complicity along with them. And then there's always some complicity of the the corrupt academic institutions. There's some university studies that are funded by some big corporation that are bemoaning and besmirching something. And I don't see that in the case of Sarkozyne. So I would say that there just needs to be more more articles put out about it. You know, feel free to put out some articles yourself about it, and maybe it'll become more popular. It looks like it is for sale on nootropicsdepot.com and also on Amazon. But the sources on Amazon don't look that great. So yeah, Nootropics Depot is going to be your go-to.
Thanks for your instruction. The only problem is that breath retention, or kombucha, is an extremely dangerous practice. I'm talking from personal experience, not mere book reading, and I'm not the only person who knows this. Authors and gurus have been warning us for over 50 years to not hold the breath. Are you aware of this?
So this was a response to my article on tantric sex techniques for men, which unsurprisingly is one of my very most popular Medium articles. I think it's up to like 100,000 views now or something like that. And the topic of breath retention danger is something I've been a little bit curious about for a while now. However, there's two very good books on the topic. There's The Tao of Longevity and then The Multi-Orgasmic Man. And in both of these books, they describe the tantric breathing techniques where you do what's called a breath retention. And this is a little bit different than when you're holding your breath because you're going to try to swim underneath the water or something. This is where you breathe into your lungs, and then you just hold the breath in your lungs very briefly for anywhere between 1 to 5 seconds. You don't do it a whole lot longer than that. And what that's supposed to do is that's supposed to have a effect on mitochondrial respiration. That was in the Tao of Longevity, they make the case that when you do a meditative breathing technique and you breathe in and then you hold the breath in your lungs for just, you consciously wait just a moment before beginning your exhalation of the breath. And then once the breath is exhaled all the way, when your lungs are empty, then you, for a moment, just hold your lungs empty, and that this prompts mitochondrial respiration. And as proof for this, if you do this for anywhere from like 10 to 15 minutes, you'll find that your body starts to kind of heat up. You'll feel some heat rising in your body. It's kind of cool. It's worth practice. It's worth trying. I don't do it a lot, but I think that's how it might work. And in both of these books, they do mention that there's a little bit of danger if you are holding, if you're doing breath retentions that are very long. They say that there's people that are advanced Taoists, and they will do a breath retention of like 6, 7, 8 seconds. So they'll breathe in, fill their lungs up, and then hold it. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then exhale all the way till your lungs are empty and count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I would totally believe that you can get into trouble if you are really new to meditative breathing and you're doing a 7-minute breath hold on inhalation and exhalation. In both of those books, they say specifically that when you're learning your tantric breathing technique, when you're learning your 4-stage breathing techniques, to do like 1-second breath holds. And that's typically what I do when I'm doing my meditation and I'm doing my breath retention holding. I'll typically do like a 1 or 2 second And I didn't even know that phrase, Kumbaka. So I've never heard of anyone like dying from this. And I've spent a lot of time around the internet looking at what people are saying about tantric breathing and that sort of thing. And I've just never heard that of anyone dying from it. So I'm wondering if maybe that's kind of just an old wives' tale, a divination of the babas, as we call it here in Bulgaria. Or what would you call it if it was the grandpas?
The grandpas?
The divination of the grandpas.
No, we call it babini divatini.
That's such a cute phrase, I think. I think that might be a little bit of just kind of a myth surrounding the practice of some of this tantric breathing, and I'm not really worried about it. But I would say if you're new to it or if you're worried about it, then just keep your breath retentions under 2 seconds, and I think you'll be just fine. I've been doing it for years and years now, and I've never noticed anything not awesome as a result. So if you do have experience with that, yeah, leave me a comment on my website or on medium.com letting us know your experience, because I've actually never met anyone that had a bad time with the tantric stuff that I talk about. Everyone seems to have a great time with it.
And you practice it.
That's right.
You practice tantric stuff.
That's right.
Very often.
I'm Jonathan with Limitless Mindset.
And I'm his wife.
You're gone.
It just sounds better from your mouth.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it says. And we look forward to a continued conversation with you. Thinking of moving, where should I go? Bulgaria whispers with saunas that glow. Red light therapy supplements too. A land of tradition, but biohackers new. Jonathan and Gergana laugh and say, cheap life from spirits, it's not far away. Bulgaria zoveš život na dobro nivo. October Q&A, voices cross the city. Bulgarian nights and biohacking dreams. Questions unravel, the answers collide. With Roseland and his wife at your side. Seen stories, a scarce little friend. Farmer tried to copy but failed in the end. Cottage city vanished, depot holds tight. Supply or conspiracy, who's wrong, who's right? Competition or schemes in the shadows they play. Secrets and doubles like tennis by day. Istina to krije se, kuši ja raskrije. Conspire, conspiracy, words stretched thin. Isn't all business just trying to win? Winners take spoils, losers pay the cost. Lines of advantage where fairness is lost. Governments, billionaires, games of control. Exploitation carved deep in the soul. Сапкулисите играют, властите владеют. October Q&A, voices cross the sea. Bulgarian nights and biohacking dreams. Questions unravel, the answers collide. With Roseland and his wife at your side. Attention, dangers, a warning long told. Kumbhaka's practice, not safe for the bold. 50 years written in guru's advice. Holding the breath could gamble with life. Jonathan nods, Dragana agrees. Safety in breathing, not risky extremes. Dishai svobodno života da dar. October Q&A, voices cross the sea. Bulgarian nights and biohacking dreams. Questions unravel, the answers collide. With Roseland and his wife at your side. Leave Limitless Podcast a 5-star review, then pour a shot of Rekia, one or two. Toast to the questions, the wisdom, the cheer, and we'll see you again this time next year.